Good evening. I saw an interesting thought by Shem Shem Pink, because I wanted to share that with you. So it's a very interesting machshava. We know that chometz is different than any shari surim. The first sugi in Psochem, we find that that chometz is more stringent, more serious than other macholas asurim. In what ways? As also be mashu. There's a issa of mashu. It's not potel b'shishim. Can't have it. Yeah, there's an issa of baliroy balimotzi as well. So we find that that chometz is worse than any than other isurim. There's also the very simple idea that we need to do b'dikas chometz to remove it, to get rid of it. There's no b'dika, it's a lot of b'dika and searching and trying to find any other isurim that you may possess in your house. In fact, you may possess in your house macholas asuras. Nothing wrong, really. It's not advisable, but there's no issa teira to have any surim in your house besides chometz. Why is it different? Why is it so much more stringent? Also, b'mashu, it's not bottle b'shishim. Why is it more? What the Rishonim say is that chometz is worse. In what way is chometz worse? Because the Rishonim say that chometz is something which we have the whole year round. We have it the whole year round. So we're quite used to it. Nothing wrong with having a bit of chametz during the year. It's just for 1 week suddenly it becomes osur and it becomes an issur koras. Whilst any other isurim, macholas asuras, right, bosor trefa, neveles, trefas, etc., is also the whole year round. So we know how to, we naturally keep a certain distance to any macholas asuras. But when it comes to a loaf of bread, nothing wrong with it really, besides that week of Pesach, and therefore chachamim have established in the Torah itself, keeps us very far away from chametz, because it is mutter throughout the whole of the year. So Abshimshin Pinker says that, he says, I can hear something here. Abshimshin says, I can hear something. I can see something and I can hear something, Abshimshin says. He said, what it teaches us is, now, at times, there is certain things which are absolutely, unquestionably also to us. And we naturally keep a distance. But he said, there's many things which we're not naturally, which is not naturally also. His vague lines, and he said that vague grey areas. And he said that at times we look at others, and others do it. So if others do it, I'm also allowed to do it. And things that others tend to be makel, certain things are okay with it. And it's not enough, just the fact that it's mutter to others, and others do it, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily mutter to us. He said there is not much out there that you just don't look at. Just like by the chometz, it becomes a particular issa just because it is mutter for 51 weeks. So he said that things which we have established in by us, everyone to himself, that something is, he's holding it at a certain level, he's pushed himself up already, certain things he just doesn't do anymore. He's moved himself up in Avodas Hashem, in Yirat Shamayim, in mitzvahs, in Torah, in Diktukaloch, he's moved himself up. So don't look at others. The others is represented by the 51 weeks. Don't look at others. If something is also for you and you have moved yourself up already, then this is categorically also. And don't allow yourself being pushed down by what others do. He speaks about technology. Actually, that's what he speaks about. Shem Shem was nifta some years ago, but he speaks right then about technology, and he speaks about other things that just other people are just leading to do certain things. He said that if you can, the more you can constrain yourself and make yourself that is chometz, which is also b'mashu. He said that's really what we learn from the Rishonim. Interesting aura. What he said that person is to push himself up to a certain level, and when he's there, he has to categorically understand that anything else is actually also is also b'mashu. Okay. That's the thought I saw and I wanted to share with you. We're up to Simon Shin Beis Seif Yud Aleph, page 178. There is a fascinating bialochi which is not quoted widely, and I think to any pet owners or anybody that has got any access to any pet, this is extremely, extremely relevant. And I don't know if I'm misquoting or misunderstanding a bialochi which is not widely quoted. So let us see what Shulchan Aruch Simon Shin Beis Seif Yud Aleph says. Somebody whose hands got dirty with mud, mekancho, should have to wipe it off, clean it off, bezonavasus, with the tail of a horse. Tail of a horse. Okay, you've got dirty hands. Take this tail of a horse and clean your hands. Chaim, ever done that before? Yeah, in the horse in your back garden maybe. So you've got dirty hands. You wipe it off with a dirty with a tail of horse, assuming that the tail is cleaner than your hands. Yeah. So v'zon of apo, similarly also with the tail of a cow. Uvemapa akosha asu lechos boikotzim, and also with the mapa akosha, a heart, his slightly hardened mapa is a towel, which is made lechos, but to hold kotzim when you've got thorns. Anybody's busy with plants and flowers which have kotzim, which have thorns, they tend to use a towel which is hard. A very hard shmata, that the thorns don't go through. So if you have got that kind of shmata, a kosho, it's fairly hard, you're allowed to dry yourself with that mapo kosho, but but if you've got a very dirty hand full of mud, you're not allowed to wipe your hands clean with a mapo towel that you normally would dry your hands with. Why? Because if your hand is very dirty with liquid mud, and you're going to wipe yourself in this towel, which is meant for your hands, don't wipe your hands in a way that you do on a weekday, you're going to end up washing this towel. So this is a very specific gzeira. Do not use a towel which, if you've got very, very dirty hands, do not use a towel which is going to get sopping wet and completely dry, and completely sopping wet and completely dirty, because you're going to end up washing this mapa. So don't use something which is specifically designated for that. But you can use anything else, like the tail of a cow or the tail of the cow of the sauce. Let us see more details in the Mishnah Berurah over here. See if Yud Aleph in the Mishnah Berurah says, "B'mapu akosha v'chem b'smarto shein makpid olav imislach lecho b'koisel k'del." He says the mapu akosha is also not only the mapu akosha, but anything, any shmata which you do not care if it gets dirty, that's fine as well, or b'koisel on the wall as well. You are allowed to wipe your hands in a towel which you don't care if it gets dirty. That's fine. And that's the same than the thick towel that you use for thorns. Anything that you don't care if it gets dirty, you can wipe your dirty hands on. But if it's something which is something which is normally tends to remain clean, and you only dry your hands with it from wet, and you have got these muddy hands of here, and you're drying, you're wiping your very dirty hands on this towel, which normally you only use for drying wet hands, then we are concerned that you may end up washing this towel. And that's why it's also. Mishneh Berurah over here in the Bialocha asks the question, and he says, "One second over here. What are we? You're wiping your hands with his tail of a horse. What's the? Why Mishneh Berurah is very bothered about it? Why is Mishneh Berurah bothered about it? Mukta. That's right. Why mukta? Because animals are mukta. That's right. Ask Rabbi Davis, Junior Shlita." One second over here. You're taking this towel of the horse, and you're wiping. You've got these dirty, dirty, muddy hands, and you're taking you're wiping your hands full of mud with this tail of a horse or the tail of a cow. I don't exactly know why it's cleaner. I don't understand why it's cleaner, but you, that's what you're doing. Okay. Now, question is, one second over here. And animals are mukta. Even domesticated animals are mukta. So how can you wipe your hands with a mukta tail of a mukta animal? That's Bialocha's question. And it's very strange that not many poskim asked that before the Bialocha. And the Bialocha then asks, any suggestions?
Maybe it's because it's dead. Hair is dead.
It's not really. Why is hair dead?
Once
it's cut. Is that what you're referring to? It dies.
It doesn't have any life source.
Oh, I see.
Is that right?
Hair does not have any life source once it reaches a certain length? No. Yeah.
It's
nicer when it's longer. Yeah, I'm not sure. I also think that, I mean, okay, you're saying that it isn't probably... Okay, any other suggestions? Why would you allowed to? Why are you allowed to wipe your hands clean with the tail? Yeah.
If the animal belongs to you, is it still mukta?
Yeah. Okay, we'll get to a point shortly that may help your question. We'll get. So the Mishnah Berurah says as follows. I mean, the second line in Mekan Chobazon of Asus. One second, I'm going a few lines. And he says the gam zon of Meir betoloshim imke na kol chadamilzi. The Mishnah Berurah says that maybe it's cut. It's cut. Okay, so if it's cut, it's not a shaila. Cut. They've cut. When we're talking about the hair, the tail of the, when we're talking about the tail of the horse, we actually misunderstood it. It's talking about cut. It's cut. And therefore, you can wipe your hands with it. Very good. Okay, Shkoyach, we understand that. But then the Mishnah Berurah says, no, actually I have another idea. Mishnah Berurah now suggests a very big chiddush. That's the last two lines of this bi'alocha. And he says that, you know what, actually, you have a svara. That maybe when we said that animals are mukta, this is correct. But it doesn't include the hair and the tail of the animal. So that's not mamash connect, that's like a different part. It's a different part of the animal. Therefore, Piolecha wants to suggest that the tail is not mukta. And the hair, which is going to fur of the animal, is not mukta. That's what the Piolecha says, but Tzorichin. So the question was, again, why can you wipe your hands with the tail of the horse? First answer was because when we talked about the tail, it's actually talking about cut tail, and that's why it's not mukta. And the second answer is no. We've got chiddush over here that seor, any hair, fur, tail growing from the animal, that's actually not considered mukta. Rabbi Yisai, what comes out from here? Comes out a basif chiddush according to the second pshat of the bi'alocha. It would come out. What would you say about stroking an animal? It would be mukta to stroke an animal according to the bi'alocha. Rabbi Yisai, I heard this over the last, almost recently, and that according to Bialocha, it would be mutter to stroke an animal. It's a psak which is unheard of. It's normally known that you're not allowed to stroke an animal, it's mukta. But I am struggling to, I mean, according to Bialocha's first pshat, it's still true. Because on the second pshat, and he seems to pass like the second pshat, he would appear that it is permitted to stroke an animal on Shabbos. If you've got a little cat or a dog, whatever it is, you're allowed to stroke the animal, according to this bi'alocha, unless you prove me wrong.
Not
yeah.
There is a chiddush between an animal and something else. With an animal, when you stroke it, even if you're not moving the body, by stroking it, the animal often moves.
Very good. I see. So saying that it's still an element of mukta here, because you're not only stroking the... It's not like the tail, you're saying. You'll be mechalek between the tail and the fur. The tail, if you're stroking it, the animal will not necessarily even feel it. It's not... You can hear that it's not chelek of the animal. However, you're saying that when you are stroking the animal, then you are actually indirectly also... Not so indirectly. You're actually also moving the animal... Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying not, even if you were careful not to move the animal when you were stroking it, but the animal is a living thing, so it may move.
It may move. So you're saying that's mukta that.
I don't know. I'm just saying. It's a difference between a normal chayfet to a car. If you touch it, you're not moving it.
Right.
If you touch it, it may move because of you.
I hear that. I also understood you saying there is a difference between the tail and the hair. That's me. Somebody suggested, I was just speaking to a friend of mine about this bialocha before, his Magichin Hendon, and then he told me that he thinks that it's actually still also because of another problem, that whenever you stroke animals, that actually it's very likely to be over on, it's very likely that the hair tends to come off. As soon as you stroke most animals, by stroking animals, you're likely to do goises as well. Now, and so that could be that it's not mukta, but just the stroking is intrinsically also because of the potential pulling off hair from an animal. Not because you're actually physically pulling, but the actual action of stroking animals, you're likely to, some hair is likely to come off as well. And that's why it's also, so that's, that could be that Bialoch is actually saying that, yes, there is no mukta, but it's a chashash of toilish or goizas when it comes to stroking an animal for another reason. Okay, I still find it interesting that it's not brought down in the poskim. So Shlomo Zalman touches on it a little bit, but not directly. And it appears that from the contemporary poskim that I looked in quite a number of svarim over the last few days, I didn't see anybody actually write out being matir person this bi'alocha. So it is maybe a little bit of a tzorchian. Okay, Sifyut Beis, we're up to Sifyut Beis, Rabbi Yisai, which tells us the following. Drying cups and glasses with a towel. Also, lenagev kois shoyabumayim, you're not allowed to dry a kois, a cup, shoyabumayim, which had water in it, or yayin, or wine. So you had a cup which had water or wine in it, you're trying to dry it. Now, bim up with a towel, it's also, mishum da osili de schita, because you're going to do the isof schita. You have a towel, it got wet, you're drying it, you're going to squeeze the towel, it's going to be also Bisham Schita. But, however, the Mishneh Berurah, is that what you do? Do you dry cups? Anybody dries? You don't? But many people do. I was saying, let's see what the Mishneh Berurah says. Mishneh Berurah says, Tzivkot Nuntes, it says, Tzivkot Nuntes, says follows, Mishum Roi Tzaloima, Afudu La Poiskim, אפילו הפויסקים לאל בסעיף טסט לא אמרינו בזה שירוס איזו כיבוסוי משום דמה פה יונוקים מתחיל לא בכך דכלוך וגם הכינוח זה דרך לכלוך ובדור דרך כיבוס אפילו אחי אוסלו שם היוב על ידי סחיטה. He says, you know what, it's true that generally we say דרך לכלוך is מוטה, we don't say שירוס איזו כיבוסוי, but over here it's דרך לכלוך and that's why it's מוטה, but nevertheless he said it's also אפילו אחי, it's also because of שם היוב על ידי סחיטה, because you are doing סחיטה, שם על ידי סחיטה, you may squeeze up the wet towel. That's very interesting. Karadvas says, hold on a sec. I know plenty of people who dry glasses. Says Karadvas. Says, I hear. Shulchan Aruch says, you cannot dry glasses because you're going to end up squeezing. There's a pshash of schita with a wet towel. But Radvaz says, plenty of people do it. So what's pshat? And Radvaz explains, people are not careful and people do dry cups. V'ledine says, more than the fact that it's not a minik, v'ledine lochush. He says that halachically it is permitted to dry glasses and plates. The ein dovuk bedofne aklimaim kol kach shovol yeschite. He says, we're talking about minute amounts. We're talking about ridiculously small amounts of water, and therefore there is no schita. Schita is only relevant when a substantial amount of water getting absorbed in the towel. But for a little bit of wet over here, and a little bit of water over there, he said that it's not. You can't call that schita. You can't call that schita. It's not going to be schita then. Elohim came in nagev bo kelim habe. So unless you come to a point that you're not just drying one or two plates, but when you're talking about a very substantial amount of plates, you're going through plates and plates and plates, and eventually the towel gets very wet, then yes, I can hear there's a problem of schita. The askorav atov or shovel the schita, then you may end up squeezing, being clearly between towels, between kelim. V'roi ligoi bo shal yasekin. That's true. When it's a lot of water, when you're talking about many, many kelim, then it's a problem. But if you're just drying one cup, you're only just drying one plate, couple of spoons and a couple of things, it's not a problem, it's mutter. And Shulchan Aruch asks it, but Radvan says, it's fine. And then the Mishneh Berurah Maaseh brings in the name of the Radvaz that one can be makel. Interestingly, in Tzivkot Samach, the Mishneh Berurah brings a chumra, and that is also the schit. I be achronim shosma the bekoishu tzar and inagvoy hafilu besmartu the miuchot dekach the efshe shaloyov the schita. The Mishneh Berurah says, you know what? There's one exception to the rule. It's true. We do pass like the Radvaz. Minute amount of water is mutter. You're allowed to dry when it's not a lot of water. But it's one case that you can't do that. And that's when the mouth, the opening, is narrow. And you're trying to squeeze a towel in a narrow cup, or in a narrow bottle, or in a narrow thing. You're trying to squeeze it in. There we can all hear that potentially you're going to end up squeezing. Yeah, squeezing a little bit. When it's a narrow entrance, and you're trying to squeeze in the towel, there is a potential chashash of schita. you know, it's getting wet, the towel is getting wet, and then you're trying to squeeze it out, there it is chashash shechita. She said, in principle, yes, I agree to the Radvaz. However, if it is a very narrow opening, then you should, there's a chashash of shechita, and you should not use the towel there. That's the Mishnah Berurah Paskins. Yeah, and then see if you'd gimel rabbi say, ain't mistaklin b'shabbos b'marish l'matchil shiur charifa ki ismael. Interesting case. That this is talking about a very specific item, which I don't think exists anymore nowadays. I don't think so. Ain't mistaklin b'shabbos b'marish, it's a mirror. Mara is a mirror, which shalmatchil, which is made out of metal. Thin metal. Shiur charifa, which is very sharp on the side. The edges are extremely sharp, ki ismael, like a knife. You've got a mirror, it's made out of metal. The edges are sharp like a knife. Perish can suck in cotton, chad, very sharp edges. And this is meant for the chashin on shema yeshai bo nimin amudul dolin. This is meant for, for when you're trying to beautify yourself. It's meant for, you've got, it's very sharp, you've got a mirror, and it's very sharp on the edges, because when you're trying to, it's sharp on the edge, when you see any hairs sticking out from your face, which are out of place, so you're using that, the mirror in front of you, it's got sharp edges, you cut your, the hair, or maybe even skin, which is, you're trying to cut it off, what's the word, pardon? Trimming, you're trimming yourself, and you are, basically, there's any hair sticking out from somewhere in your face, and you're using that mirror, and then you cut it off, you trim it off with that kind of mirror. So the Mishnah Berurah says, the Shulchan Aruch says, "En mistaklin b'shabbos b'marish l'matches." Not only, it's obviously not allowed to use, but he says that you're not allowed to even to look into this mirror, because you may chas v'shalom end up cutting hair, which is trim any hair which is sticking out from your face. Because it's sharp, it's the kind of mirror, and you use it for trimming hair which is coming out. And you're not to use it at all. Don't even use it as a mirror. The chashina, because we are concerned, shemoyashe b'nimin abdul dolin, because you are maybe going to cut off some hair or skin on your face. So afilim u'kavua, because even if it is a firmly attached, this mirror is firmly attached on the wall, nevertheless, it is also to use it. Don't look at it on Shabbos. Aval mutal istakli b'marish she'ein bo chashash zeh afil einu kavua. If you have got a kind of mirror which doesn't have such a chashash, then you are allowed to use a normal mirror, you're allowed to look at it. If it's not sharp on the edges, you haven't got sharp corners, then it's mutter. So Mishnah Berurah does point out that one second here, it's not always, in Sifkot and Samachta, it's not always mutter to look in the mirror. It's a shayla of, of Lo Yilbash to look into a mirror. But if there is no chashash of Lo Yilbash, then yes, it's mutter to look into a normal mirror. So again, this particular mirror is always also to not look into such a mirror, because you may end up cutting some of the hair. A regular mirror, you're allowed to use. As long as there's no yilbash shaila. The Aruch Shulchan says, I've never seen this funny knife, this funny mirror with the sharp edges. But interestingly, later poskim say, you know, what about a knife? You've got a sharp knife, and you want to look in the, you know, you've got, you're looking, using a sharp knife as a mirror. You're allowed to do that on Shabbos. You have a sharp knife, and you're using it as a mirror. You had to do that.
Nowadays,
right? Yeah, but a knife.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think when you're holding a knife.
Right. So, pardon? You wouldn't do it with a knife either, right? Very good. So the mindset, so one posik, I said, actually, maybe with a knife, you shouldn't look in the mirror. You shouldn't look in the knife because of this chashash. But the mindset, I firmly believe that the consensus of the poskim is, the poskim that I looked at and said, it's not issa. It's so, like you're saying, it's so rare, it's so bizarre, it's an awkward thing to do, to start using a knife to cut hair or to cut skin on your face. So nowadays, there's no issa at all, and you are allowed to use any of that for looking. This issa doesn't apply anymore nowadays at all. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, what we've covered tonight, we spoke about the hands, which got really muddy, and we spoke about to clean them with the tail of a cow or of a horse. This is mutter. To use a towel which is completely used for wet but clean hands, you wouldn't be allowed to use chashash shema yichabes. With regards to the tail, we spoke about bi'alach. Why is the tail no muktzeh? We gave two reasons: either because it's cut already, or because seor is not included, it's not muktzeh. We spoke then about this interesting. We spoke about drying cups. Drying cups. The Radbaz is cholik on Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch said it's also. The Radbaz said that it's mutter. It's not a lot of water, and therefore it's mutter to dry cups and plates on Shabbos. However, the Mishnah Berurah does say if it is a narrow opening, it's also to use because you may do schita. We spoke about this very interesting and unique kind of mirror, which has got sharp edges. It's also to use that because chashin on shema, maybe you're going to cut some of your skin or your hair. A normal mirror is permitted to use, and the Mishnah Berurah said, and the Shulchan and the Poskim said they don't exactly know what this mirror is with the sharp edges, and nowadays this doesn't apply anymore. Good evening, Abayi.